The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Along with the athletic director, Mark Ingram, a viewer of UAB Blazers, I'm Tony Curry. This is called the UAB Director's Chair. We do it every single week. You can hear it at least five times on the TKR app on Tony Curry Radio. And thanks to all the people who have downloaded our app and listened to all of our previous episodes. And if you've listened over the last 6 or 7 weeks, you realize we talk about a lot of UAB sports and UABsports.com. But we also talk some classic rock. And today we're going to be getting into our four songs that fire us up the most. Mark, are you ready to go?
I'm ready, Coach.
Okay, so... So a lot of people are like, they listen every single week and they're like, how do you come up with these topics, these themes that you guys want to talk about, whether it's the greatest guitarist, the greatest concerts we did last week? And I said, really, this kind of come to the top of our head. So I will be honest with you. I was thinking, can I admit something you do during UAB football games? You pick the music.
I don't know what
right?
you're going to say.
You pick a lot of the music you hear down at UAB football games. And quite frankly, I don't mean to be critical because there's not a lot to be critical about, but if I do hear a song I don't particularly like, I'll say, well, what is this crap? And then whenever you play like an AC/DC song, If You Want Blood, You Got It was the last one I heard down there. You win me back over. And so I'm like, this is an excellent song. I will say this though, and I know, and again, I hope I'm not sharing something that you don't want people to know, but when the defense is on the field, you hear the rock, you hear the classic rock, you hear the hair metal bands, you hear the stuff in your face. And then when your offense is on the field, what do you play?
Yeah. So here's the theory is that when the defense is on the field, we want angry music.
Yes.
And so it's not a coincidence that you're saying that. We said we're going to play angry music. It is the mindset of defense. We're angry. We've got to make a tackle. You know, offensive music is happy music.
Yes.
So you get more dance. So I pick less of that because it's just not what I know well. But it's more of your happy dance music. Now, there is some what you just called hairband music that fits into that category, one of which we'll talk about, you know, when we get into the songs, but you know, it's stuff that makes you, you know, makes you want to dance, right? It's the stuff that makes you feel good, and because you just had a big play, right? That's the thinking. We just had a long pass down field for a big first down, and we're up on our feet and we're happy, and so that's kind of the concept.
Would you allow me to put together a list of songs that potentially you could pick from to play during your home games? Okay, because I've got some great songs, and I, listen, I've been around music for my entire life, so I know songs that would go, and I know you have friends of yours that go, hey Mark, this would be a great song to play, and you play it, so you do requests just like I do. All right, lots to get into. UABSports.com, the website for tickets and everything that is the UAB Blazers here on the UAB Director's Chair, and I saw right there at the top, you got a local kid coming back to town from North Carolina to join the men's basketball team. Can you talk about that a little bit? What a great transfer.
Well, you know, we, Andy Kennedy, I guess without, you know, I don't even have to say this, is doing just a terrific job. And one of the things that he's doing, and we talked about it when I first, you know, met with him back in the spring of 20 about being our coach, was just philosophically, let's talk about, you know, our recruiting philosophy. And the transfer portal was just becoming a thing. And he said, you know, I think that one of our best strategies will be to recruit in high school some number of kids that we know we're not going to get.
Yeah.
We know based on conversations that they are having with other schools that they are going to sign with a program, some, you know, autonomy 5 program, like a North Carolina or Oregon or whoever. But in his view, he says, but I feel like I'm qualified enough to know if that young man is really capable of playing at that level or not, or if they're going to be a bench guy, they're going to be a practice player, or they're going to be a real contributor. And he says, those guys that are going to get recruited as bench players, he goes, we want them.
Yeah.
So we were going to recruit them knowing we can't get them, but we're going to get them on the bounce back.
There you go.
And so that did not happen with the person you're speaking about, but he directly, but that's the same idea. There's a lot of good talent around. And so he's signed a couple of guys who are from the state on a bounce back who were fantastic in high school. And these guys want to play, you know. And the other thing is in this sort of modern era of NIL, you're also trying to find the kid who says, hey, I don't really care about that. I just want to play.
Yeah.
You know, some kids lead the conversation with how much can you pay me? That's really not, forget about how much money we could pay them and our capability compared or lack of ability compared to maybe another competitor. It's also the mindset of the player, right? Do you want that in your locker room now? What sort of selfishness out, you know, other than that, what other selfish traits might this person have on the court? Like, yeah. Do they share the ball? Do yeah. they understand how to, you know, pass to a teammate and let the teammate score? Or do they have to have the highlight dunk? What about pass it to the teammate so they can, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's a big cycle there.
No, it's awesome. The kid we're talking about, of course, you can see the story right there on the front page of UABSports.com. Will Shaver, who's coming back to the Birmingham area, 6'10", nice size, and a 4-star kid.
Huge guy. Huge kid.
And, I mean, we'll take those all day long.
Hey, he won the state championship in Bartow Arena.
Yeah. And I think he was ranked, he was second in the state and 111th overall through ESPN. So he's a huge get and a beautiful transfer.
Yep.
UAB Sports Athletic Director Mark Ingram joins us every single week here on TKR, Tony Curry Radio Hero Show, at least 5 times. And, of course, it lives in infamy on our podcast platform at Tony Curry Radio. It's called UAB Director's Chair if you want to look it up individually. This was just a matter of time. Legalized sports gambling now in 33 different states, and Ohio is one of those. We found Alabama baseball coach Brad Bohannon getting some hot water and got released from a $500,000 job because he was linked to some bets against his baseball team as they took on the number one LSU Bayou Bengal Tigers last week. And, of course, Alabama lost that baseball game 8-6. And now a new story coming out from the University of Iowa and Iowa State. Gambling activity from student-athletes. This includes 111 student-athletes with those two particular schools. And I will say this. Just because you have insider trading on the New York Stock Exchange doesn't mean you shut the exchange down. I understand that. You know where I come from gambling. I know people like to do it for entertainment purposes only and have fun. I do think it's too widespread, and I do think it's hitting our young people too young. And I don't think people understand the further ramifications of that, but they'll learn, I guess, down the road. So this is just a matter of time before this happened. But there are particular things in place, much like there was with the Alabama situation, where Ohio regulatory people saw this before the game actually went off. They took the game off the list. And there are people, this is their job, to be looking at sports gambling activities to know when things don't seem right. And when you have a huge line movement in a college baseball game, something traditionally people don't bet on, there's something up and it will be investigated. So if you're one of those people that think you can pay someone under the table or whatever, as a student athlete and get away with it, you will be caught. It will happen. But what's your thoughts? You're an athletic director. First of all, let's back it up a little bit. What kind of discussions do you have with your student athletes, particularly now since sports gambling at all levels is so prevalent?
Well, we do. We have regular conversations. Usually the hottest time to have that is around the basketball tournament, March Madness. You know, like I don't even fill out a bracket. My children get mad at me. Dad, we're just doing this in the house to see who gets the most right, you know, and I'm like, I know, but so you're going to tell somebody that, and then somebody's going to think they got to launch some investigation into whether or not I took money off my 14-year-old daughter because I got more games right or whatever, or, you know, I got to eat an extra cupcake or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you had to do my household chores because I won the bracket. So I don't even do it. So that's when we have, you know, the most conversation, really, because it feels like it's most prevalent. But yeah, our compliance staff talks to all of our student athletes about it many times a year. We have meetings with student athletes and compliance where they talk about all sorts of things like, it used to be, you know, don't take money from a booster. Now it's please take money from a booster because, you know, to document it that you did.
Exactly.
But you know, that we've always had these do's and don'ts type conversations because young people and, well, anybody outside of college athletics, you know, you have these beliefs that of things that are permissible or not. Hey, I've always heard you can't do that. Is that right? Well, it's partly right. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can't do. We have those discussions and yeah, gambling is a big part of it. And you know, this topic feels so much to me like NIL was 2 years ago.
Yep.
It's if we don't get in front of this, it is just going to happen and we have no control. If we would get in front of it, maybe then we could have some control. But I refuse to believe that young people are not going to be susceptible to some amount of pressure or influence on this. And that's the awful part. You know, people outside of college athletics, just like with NIL, all the people that thought they knew so much about it and, you know, thought they were doing this wonderful thing and have created this horrible monster that's destroying, you know, this beautiful industry, is that with gambling, you cannot appreciate, because you haven't worked in recruiting, you cannot appreciate what these kids are pressured to do to choose a school. Like there will be a kid come off a football field, on a high school football field, and a man will go up to that kid and say, hey, are you Tony Curry? Boy, you had a great game. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Hey, does your mom work down at XYZ plant? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I thought so. I think I know where, you know, I own that business, or I manage that business. Oh, okay. Yeah, nice to meet you. Boy, I tell you, sure, I hear you're looking at, you know, out-of-state school. Well, yeah. Boy, it sure would be a shame for your mom to lose her job because you didn't stay in state and go to such and such.
Yep.
And these kids get all kinds of pressure.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you know, we talk about money. The stuff that grown adults do to threaten and pressure kids, that's been happening for years. It's been 30 years since I worked directly with football recruiting in the Office of Football Recruiting. That was happening then.
Yeah.
That was happening then. From grown adult people, what do you think they're doing now? Then when you talk about gambling and layering in the gambling and what, I got a lot of money on the line now. Tony, you better drop that pass.
Yeah.
You can get an opportunity.
You know, the thing that really bothers me most is what do you want to do when you want to have a lifetime customer? You hit them while they're young. That's why, you know, you go to any sporting event and 12 and under, you get in free. That's why they took candy cigarettes off the shelves, because they knew those kids. And it is. And the unfortunate thing is here, and they don't sponsor me at all, so I can talk about it, but FanDuel and DraftKings started that. They knew exactly what they were doing when they came into existence 5 or 6, 7 years ago. They started this big DraftKings, which kids love to do. They love to draft teams.
Yeah.
People in their 20s mm-hmm. love to draft teams. They sit around on Friday nights and they watch these games. Fantasy leagues are huge, knowing that eventually things would become legalized. And now these things have turned into sports betting apps. And again, here in the state of Alabama, we don't have to worry about that. We have bingo halls in Jasper we need to worry about. But so, I mean, they saw that coming, and it's unfortunate because they lure you in, and I can really see some kids thinking to themselves, I can guarantee you that there are so many student athletes that have no clue that by placing a $5 bet on FanDuel, or as part of some put $5 in and get $5, whatever their ploy is, that they're doing nothing wrong. And unfortunately, when you play college sports, there are rules that the rest of us can, you know, abide by, and some people can't. I mean, it's just the way it is, and they have to take that seriously. And you know,
the other thing on that, Tony, is that as in our discussions nationally about this, it's like if we don't get around it, we'll have no control. And the hypocrisy in it too is that we will say, and if there's some organization profiting off of this, we want a piece of that action too.
Yeah.
So it's like we don't want it to happen, but if it is going to happen, then I want my piece of the pie.
Yeah.
You know, it's really just a backward conversation.
It really
is. It's really hard.
And times have changed, and we talked about this on the show, the Great American Ballpark, where Pete Rose, obviously he's never played there, but he's from Cincinnati. You can actually bet on a Reds game during the game inside the stadium, which is kind of crazy. UAB Director's Chair, he's Mark Ingram. He's the athletic director. He's kind enough to join us every single week here on Tony Curry Radio for our big show. You can, of course, hear it wherever your podcasts are available, on every major industry out there. So make sure you go out and listen to all of our previous shows. We do a lot of topical stuff, but we also talk a lot of classic rock, and we're getting into it today. It was my idea to come up with the four songs that fire you up the most. And I know that you pick a lot of music. This was probably the easiest one for me. I didn't pick it because it was the easiest one, but the top four just flew off the top of my brain. I don't even have, I'll say this. There are some songs where you have to get ready to listen to them, right? You have to sit down and go, okay, this is going to blow me away, and you just crank it up. Then there are songs where you hear on the fly, whether you're in the car, you're down at the beach, and all of a sudden you hear it go, wow, what a great song, whether it's Welcome to the Jungle or Enter Sandman or whatever. But then there's some songs where, regardless of when you listen to them, it just sets you off. And I'm not talking so much your workout songs, whether you like to work out to Kid Rock or whatever. But there are some songs that you remember that every time you hear them, it puts you in a different mood. And those are the songs we're talking about. I'm going to let you go first with your first song. And do you have some honorable mentions? You always do.
I do have some honorable mentions. Okay. And so here's, you know, we talked at the beginning of the show. We have angry music and we have happy music for when our teams are on the field. But then we also have timeout music. Okay. You know, you also have, which kind of fits into the happy kind of category too. You know, we'll have a timeout and, you know, ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the 20-yard line where Tony Curry is receiving a such award. You have that thing, but then you're going to have a little, you know, or what? Maybe there's a replay, a review of a play, an instant replay to see if a person caught the ball inbounds or not, or whatever. You know, you've got time during the game where you're trying to keep everybody engaged.
Yeah.
And so, I would put it in the happy category. But what it is also is like sing along. You know, what the best part about those moments is if you can find a song that makes everybody want to sing together. Right. You've got songs like Sweet Caroline that when it comes on, everybody, next thing you know, you don't even know it. You're Sweet Caroline. You're doing that. You don't even know you're doing it. Yeah. You know? I've got some honorable mentions and then I've got my kind of end game top four. So on the honorable mention category, I'm at a football game with my sons. I'm at a pro game and it's a timeout. And we added this to our playlist because, like I said, I didn't even know that I was kind of singing out loud. But then when the chorus hit and the whole stadium was singing it, next thing you know, you're like on your feet and you're belting it out. Uh-huh. And that song is, see if you may just guess it. You may guess it. This is by The Outfield.
Uh-huh.
What song do you think it is?
Your Love.
By The Outfield.
Your Love.
Your Love.
Yeah.
Josie's on a vacation. Yeah. Far. Right. And then when it's, you know, next thing you know, everybody's on their feet.
No, it's a great song.
Right?
It's a great song.
And they're, what are they singing?
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Yeah. Your Love. There's, I don't want to lose your love. Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Everybody's, I just want to use your love. And then tonight, and everybody's like, and you're looking around like, oh, I don't know. I thought it was just me. And then everybody's like, so that is a great, I never realized what a great song that, I mean, I always liked the song, but I never thought of that as a in-game song until I heard that somewhere. And I was like, yeah, man.
One of my favorite.
That's a great time.
That's from the album Play Deep. It's one of my favorite albums of all time. There's every song off that album is fantastic. And unfortunately, that lead singer passed away a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right, give me some other ones.
Yeah, another one. I was at a basketball game and a college game, and a band was playing this song. And then, as you know, basketball, the breaks are really brief. And so this song cut off right at the chorus. And little did we all realize, this was at a big basketball event, and everybody in the place is singing the chorus, which is Living on a Prayer.
Yeah.
We're halfway there. And then the band stopped and everybody went, whoa, man. And it was hilarious because as soon as everybody, just like on Your Love, as soon as everybody realized that they weren't the only one, everybody got louder.
Oh,
they didn't
yeah.
get quiet.
Yeah.
Like they were shy. It was like, we're into it. Oh my God, mm-hmm. this is great.
Yeah.
And there was like 40,000 people singing Living on a Prayer with no music because the band had to stop. And the basketball game is being played and everybody keeps singing the song. What a great, just another great sing-along song during a timeout.
I got you.
Yeah. So one that I am desperate for my son to use in baseball as a walk-up song that he won't do it. He won't do it. But I've heard it one time before with a pitcher during his warm-up music. And that is a great song by one of my favorite bands, Jackal. And that is the Lumberjack song. You know the Lumberjack song?
Yes. You want to
so Jesse James Dupree is going to get up there, which I saw him at the Electric Ballroom. I also saw Jackal open for ZZ Top. And he is going to, he comes out with a chainsaw and he starts ripping that chainsaw. And that's what starts that song.
Yeah.
And so he starts on into that. And it's this dun 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 da 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 da, and it's really heavy, and it's got this gravelly kind of sound to it. But man, it's got so much swagger and so much attitude. And you go strutting up from the on deck circle up to the batter's box, and that thing's happening. You're about to rip one down the line, man. That's no, and
it's perfect because it's lumberjack too. You're talking wood.
Yeah, yeah,
it's and no, you're right. It's perfect. That's yeah. Killer. That's killer.
So a great positive song, happy song in football. Big play in football. We just got the ball down the field. First down, and you're playing jump.
Yeah,
you're playing jump by Van Halen, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun get on your feet song. And then one of my favorites on the honorable mention list on the defensive side, which is the song Fuel by Metallica, because it's hard charging, it's fast, and give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh, and that's a great one on defense. Yeah. But not in my top four. Not in my top four.
All right. All right, well, give me one that's in your top four. Those are good.
Those you, I'm giving you all my honorable mentions, man. You got to do your top four.
Well, I'll give you my first one, and it was the first song that came right off the top of my head. So every Friday night, I had just moved to Louisville, Kentucky. I was, I think, 19 years old, and all I had in my apartment was a 55-gallon aquarium. I had a bed with no box springs. I had no furniture, and I had Tupperware. That was it. But I also used to play parties. And so I had two Technique 1200 turntables that are super nice turntables. And I had two SP3 PV speakers that went about 800 watts a piece. And they were the only things in my apartment. When I had dates, it was weird. I got news for you. Anyway, my fish didn't like it either. But I had an EP from the radio station from WQMF, which still exists in Louisville, Kentucky, of Motley Crue's Girls, Girls, Girls. And that was the last song I listened to. I would listen to some music. I'd take some, and it was, you know, we didn't have CDs then. CDs hadn't come out yet. And I would put that EP of Girls, Girls, Girls. It may have been like an extended remix version of it too. And I used to crank that up, that motorcycle and that drum set at the beginning with Tommy Lee. And I used to crank that up, and my neighbors knew the party was on. Thank goodness I lived at a place called Sundance Apartments. It was a place, and it was on. It was ready to go, and it was usually about 11:30 at night on a Friday night, and everyone knew I was leaving the apartment. So that was a song that got me fired up every single Friday night. Give me your first one.
That's a great one. And so I started to put similar songs, same band, started to put on my honorable mention list, which is Kickstart My Heart, because the same kind of feel to it.
No doubt.
That you're talking about. Okay, so my first on the of the top four, I'm going to go. So a lot of people think that Hell's Bells is a great song on defense, and it is. So when you're doing these songs, by the way, you're also just taking like the first. You don't have that much time, so you're only talking about 15 to 25 seconds, and so it's really the first 15 to 25 seconds of a song. You might have a song that's a terrible song, but the first 15 to 25 seconds are great.
Yeah.
So Hell's Bells is great. And a similar song, which actually is more frequently played, is For Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica.
Yes.
So you've got Hell's Bells by AC/DC or For Whom the Bell Tolls. It's that deep, you know, church bell, boom, boom, you know. And so it's ominous, right? It's dark. It's ominous. Those are great songs for your defense.
By the way, do you have to pay licensing on the music you play?
No. It's just like playing at a party.
I'm sorry.
A party. Football game busted out while we had a party, but no, you don't.
I'm sorry you even brought that up.
No.
Okay.
No.
There was another song, and this was when I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I was about ready to leave to go to Louisville, and I had a friend of mine who had a black Smoking and the Bandit Trans Am. I cannot remember the guy's name to save my life. This is when the drinking age was 18. And every single time I got in his car, he was playing this song. A lot of people think the name of this song is Save My Life, I'm Going Down for the Last Time. It was from Flat as a Pancake and Head East. It's called Never Been Any Reason. I play it on Tony Curry Radio. It was one of the first songs. It's one of the songs where every single time I play it here, my phone rings. People are like, what is that song? Who's playing that song? Never Been Any Reason. It's a fantastic song. It is just a great 70s song. And I can see the album cover. It's orange and yellow, and there's a big flapjack on the front of it with syrup going over the top. It's just a great song. And he used to play that song every time we got in his car. He would follow it up with Slow Ride from Foghat, but I always remember that Head East, Never Been Any Reason. So that would be another song. Every time I hear that song, it fires me up, man.
Yeah, well, that is a great one. So this won't surprise you based on all the other conversations that we've had about my favorite singers and frontmen and bands. But again, think about the first 30 seconds of Quiet Riot, Metal Hell.
Oh, yeah.
And then Kevin DuBrow, God bless him.
Screaming.
God rest his soul. Screaming. You know, again, it's the right attitude for your defense to get tough and get a stop. And that's one of my favorites. Yeah, Quiet Riot, Metal Health, and Kevin DuBrow just screaming in your face and you know, really cranking up the intensity and trying to get the crowd fired up with you.
That album was just nasty, man. It was a skank.
Awesome.
It was great. It was fantastic. All right.
Carlos Gabazzi on the guitar.
My third song is a song that's 9 minutes and 33 seconds long, and there's a reason why that song is 9 minutes and 33 seconds.
That'd be good for a replay.
Exactly. Back in the day, if you ever heard a disc jockey playing a record over 6 minutes long, he either had a girl on the phone or he had to use the bathroom. Or light one up out in the back deck. So it's 9 minutes and 33 seconds long. This is another Louisville song. I don't know why these songs, because they influenced my life so much. So we worked, our radio station was in Louisville, Kentucky. It was licensed in Louisville, Kentucky, but it was actually licensed in Jeffersonville, Indiana, which is right across the river. And you know this because you're from that area of the country. And there was a vacuum cleaner store and maybe a liquor store right across the street. And then the radio station, that was the only three things over there. Now, when you go to Jeffersonville, Indiana, you don't even recognize it. There's a Caesar's Palace there. The place is just blown up. And so I would leave the radio station and, there was a bar in Louisville, Kentucky on Bargetown Road called Phoenix Hill Tavern. It was one of the greatest bars ever. It was a three-story building. On the bottom level was where you had the main band, where you could probably get 300 or 400 people in there and people are dancing. And then you go up to the next level and there was a smaller bar with another smaller band. And that's where you met your guy or girl of the evening, where you wanted to kind of take it to another level. And then on the third level, there was like a little bar where there was like an acoustic guy. And that's where you were going to make out. So it was a perfect place. You know, everyone's like, you're going to make it to the third level today. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm making the third level. Right. So I would leave the radio station. And I was on from 7 to midnight. I would leave the radio station at 11:51, and I would play Jungle Land from Bruce Springsteen from Born to Run. The last song, because I knew it was 9 minutes and 33 seconds, and I knew I could get in my car, leave Jeffersonville, Indiana, make it to Bargetown Road, and they had a spot on a Friday night in front of Phoenix Hill Tavern for Tony Curry parking. It said Tony Curry parking right outside the club, and no one parked in that spot. And so I would pull up on a Friday night, I mean, burning rubber. I'd have my Monte Carlo SS. I'd pull up in front of that place, and I would run in. And when you walked in the place, there was a bar that was about 60 feet long on the right side, and there were these shots. We called them stoplights. It was a red shot on top of a yellow shot on top of a green shot. And my thing for 2 years was to get inside that bar while that song was playing and drink those three shots before the song ended. And then it would be
midnight. That's work. You got to drive there and do that.
Yeah, and then it'd be midnight. Well, one of the last times I did that, our midnight to six guy didn't show up. So and we were running albums. So I'm running in the bar. Everyone's like clapping. Come on, Tony, go, go, go! I do the three shots, and we're listening, and the radio station's on in the bar. And all of a sudden, I hear the needle at the end of the record just skipping, and I'm like, oh no! So I had to get back in the car, drive back to Jeffersonville, Indiana, tune up the next song, and wait for the overnight guy to show up. But I always remember that song. It was the way I started my weekends. I did it with Jungle Land and Bruce Springsteen.
The boss.
There you go. The boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9 minutes and 33 seconds, bro. That's a great song too.
Oh, it's so good. That is good.
Yeah.
So my last two are not stumpers for you, but probably. So, sticking with the defensive side of the ball. Have you ever seen the movie that Mark Wahlberg stars in called Rockstar?
I have not. I need to, but I.
Oh!
Yeah, Dude, you're talking to a guy that's only seen one Star Wars movie. It's not that I don't like movies. I just don't find the time to do it. But I just saw School of Rock for the first time last weekend on TV.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I love that movie because it's kid friendly. I got kids,
mm-hmm.
and I just think it's funny, and Jack Black is funny, and it kind of just like just kind of drizzles in all this awesome music from start to finish. It's
great,
just terrific.
Great movie.
Rockstar. So in the movie Rockstar, Mark Wahlberg's character becomes the lead singer of his all time favorite band. And they kind of make that band a bit like Kiss, without makeup. You know, it's hard to say who are they supposed to be modeled after, but just like considered to be the greatest rock band in the world type band. And by strange circumstance, they need a lead singer. And he has been playing in a tribute band for this band. So he knows all the words to all the songs, and he sings it just like they sing it and all that. And he ends up having an opportunity to audition, and he gets the gig. Well, the name of the band is called Steel Dragon. That's the name of the band.
Nice.
What a great name, right?
Yeah,
it's
right.
A metal band.
Yeah.
But they created a soundtrack for that movie, and a lot of it is original to that. It was not just, there are some popular songs, there's a couple of Motley Crue songs, I think, in there. There's something from the Verve Pipe, kind of a slower song, whatever. But Steel Dragon has a few songs under the name Steel Dragon. And one of them is called Stand Up and Shout. And and that's how the song starts. You got to stand up and shout. And what a great song to play to your crowd, right?
Yeah.
Play just the beginning of this song that has the lead singer. And he's kind of like Metal Health does, where he's just screaming. It's a bit like that, but he says those words, stand up and shout. And just using that little piece right there is terrific, terrific at a football or basketball game.
That is awesome. I love that, man. That's really good.
Steel Dragon from the movie Rockstar.
No, I don't have my kids this weekend.
Go listen to that song.
I'm going to go watch the movie this weekend.
Yeah, but you can listen to that song just to hear what I'm talking about. You'd be like, oh, yeah.
We may have to do our top movie rockers next week. That's a perfect thing to get into. All right, I'm going to give you a little trivia here before I give you my last one. You mentioned Kiss. Do you know what song incited or encouraged Paul Stanley to write Hard Luck Woman? Let's go Looking Glass Brandy.
There's another song that inspired that song?
He heard this song and wrote Hard Luck Woman after he heard it. Do you know what it is?
No.
It is Brandy from Looking Glass. Brandy, You're a Fine Girl.
Brandy, You're a Fine Girl. What a good life you'd be.
How about that? All right, so my final song, fill in the blank, when you feel down and out, sing a song. I love the Earth, Wind & Fire song, man. Every time I hear Sing a Song from Earth, Wind & Fire, dude, I don't care when the hell it is. When I hear that song, Earth, Wind & Fire, I sing a song. It's a perfect song. And you do you know why? Because in 1974, it was either 74 or 1972.
These are the songs that fire you up at a game?
These songs fire me up in life, my friend. Now, I think it was 1972. When Sesame Street first came on the air, it was on PBS. This is when we had four stations, folks, CBS, NBC, ABC, and PBS, Alabama Public Television. We had Cincinnati or Ohio Public Television, OPT. And I remember my mom sitting me in front of the TV at 6 o'clock in the morning. She's like, there's this brand new show called Sesame Street that's coming on. I think you're really going to like it. And I was like, all right. And I was 6 years old, and I'm having my bowl of Count Chocula, and these puppets, these Muppets, whatever, Kermit the Frog and Ernie and Bert, they come out, and they're singing Sing a Song from Earth, Wind, and Fire. It was one of the first clips that I ever saw, and I still remember that. And there's one Muppet, you know, and she's got her face down in her hand, and she's feeling down and out. And one of the other Muppets comes, you know, when you're feeling down and out, you should sing a song. They go into that song, and I still remember sitting in front of that. I don't remember much about my childhood, but I still remember that. And whenever I hear that song now, it's like everyone in the car, shut up. I crank it up. I'll go back and replay it. I love Earth, Wind & Fire Sing a Song. It's just the happiest song in the world. I love it.
Well, it's a great one. And there's a lot of really good, obviously they have a lot of good music, but there's a lot of really good songs that, you know, that you hear. Like Let's Groove.
Oh, man.
That's a great one at a game. That makes you kind of want to dance. That's a good one for offense. I didn't put them on my list, but we use that song.
September, Boogie Wonderland. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, Boogie Wonderland.
Jeez,
yeah,
dude.
Terrific.
Oh, unbelievable.
Those are good ones to play for your crowd, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Your offense would be throwing touchdowns every time they had the football.
Every time.
Tell Trent Dilfer to play some Boogie Wonderland.
Yeah, we'll have to get that going in the locker room. All right, so my last one, this is a stumper. You don't even know this one either. Okay. I love that.
Yeah, I know.
One of my buddies, we're getting ready to play, you know, in Protective Stadium for the first game. And I said to a couple of my friends, I said, hey, we've got an opportunity to start, you know, a lot of things new and fresh and different. And we probably had too many opinions, not just from my friends, but I mean, like within our department and fans and coaches and whatever, trying to make these decisions. But we're going to try to roll this song in. So I was talking to my friends. We need to, you know, what music do we run out to? What music do we kick off every time? We can create some things that we want to be our thing. And so you're going to start hearing us, and I don't want to give away when, but we're going to start playing this song by Motorhead.
Oh, yeah.
And the song is called The Game.
Oh, I do not
know
that song.
And a friend of mine told me about it, said it was written for the WWE, and that apparently there was a character, one of their wrestlers was going to use it and didn't use it or something like that. And so this song, and it's menacing, and, you know, Lemmy, what a voice, you know. Uh-huh. And so you hear this gravelly kind of sound from him. And again, just listen to the first, you know, 20, 30 seconds. It's not about the whole song. It's about, you know, 30 seconds leading into the opening kickoff or the halftime kickoff or something like that. It's pretty awesome. It's time to play the game.
The game,
yeah, it's great.
From Motorhead.
The game.
Motorhead. Very good, my friend. I love doing this. This is fun, man. This is fantastic. I love those four songs. All right, so next week, it's your shot. You take. You talk about what you want to talk about next week. You got some time. I'll be ready to go.
All right, we'll have to think about it.
Keep giving us winner chicken dinners there on all the fields you play on at UAB Sports. And, of course, people can find you at UAB_AD on Twitter. He is Mark Ingram, super gracious and super thankful that he comes on every single week here for the UAB Director's Chair on Tony Curry.
Hey, man.
Yeah, man.
Follow your Blazer softball team who finished regular season in second place.
All right.
Got a double bye in the conference tournament starting today. So follow the Blazers and pull for them. They got a real shot with having that double bye. They got a real shot at winning a championship. We'll see how they do. And A.J. Doherty, in his first year as our softball coach, conference coach of the year.
How about that, huh?
Along with Sierra Frazier, our catcher, who was the conference player of the year. Pretty awesome.
That is great stuff, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Tony. See you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.